Today, my guest on Piano Jazz is the multi-talented singer-composer Janice Siegel. You can hear her solo or with the Manhattan Transfer. Either way, she's just wonderful. And Janice has brought along pianist Gil Goldstein.
And guess what? I think he's brought along his squeeze box. So maybe we can get him to play one or two things later.
Oh, great. And he's so good.
Yes, he's really one of the masters of that instrument. And it can be so terrible in the wrong hands.
Very few people on accordion would I want to let in here.
Exactly.
Well, we're just knocked out to have you and can't wait to hear you. Hear you do one of your fabulous things, of which you have so many.
Well, we're gonna get you involved in a couple of them, I hope.
Yeah, I'd like to be. It's unusual for me to sit with folded hands, but I'm going to enjoy it, believe me. So what's this first one going to be?
Well, Gil and I did an album together a couple of years ago called Sketches of Broadway, and it was a jazz take on certain songs from the Broadway stage, both well-known and not so well-known. And this first one is by the great Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's a formidable challenge. This is from Follies, the show Follies. And it's the story of Lucy and Jesse.
Here's a little story that should make you cry about two unhappy dames. Let us call them Lucy X and Jesse Y, which are not their real names. Now, Lucy has the purity along with the unsurety that comes with being only 21. Jesse has maturity and plenty of security. Whatever you can do with them, she's done. Give them their advantages. You may ask why the two ladies have such grief. This is my belief in brief. Lucy is juicy, but terribly drab. Jesse is dressy, but cold as a slab. Lucy wants to be dressy. Jesse wants to be juicy. Lucy wants to be Jesse. And Jesse, Lucy. You see, Jesse is racy, but hard as a rock.
How old were you when you started singing?
Oh, about 12. I was 12 when I started professionally. Not with the Manhattan Transfer. But I was in my, so I was 20, 21 when I started with the Transfer. So it's I can't even believe it. We're coming up to our 35th year together.
With the Transfer?
Mm-hmm.
I have this strange feeling. Did you start at the Carlisle?
Actually, that was one of our first gigs. Ahmet Ertegun from Atlantic Records arranged for us to, after our first album came out, to play at the Carlisle. We replaced Bobby Short while he was on vacation. And we brought downtown, uptown, because we were still pretty raw and unharnessed, shall
we
say.
The reason I brought that up was when you were doing that, I was just opening in the bar.
Of course, you were in Bemelman's bar. That's right, of course.
And I was probably in Bemelman's bar because they threw me out of Bobby's room because you were coming in there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So that, but that created a new room. They bought me I went out and chose a piano. And I was in there for God knows how many years.
Yes, that's right.
And
oh, well,
so I remember that so well and poking my nose in to hear you guys.
It was pretty wild because Ahmet brought a lot of his friends in and we had Mick Jagger coming in and David Bowie and it was quite a wild scene at that time.
I would think so. With Mick Jagger, I mean, that's... What you were doing was real singing. I mean, he could learn a trick or two from that.
Yes, but he's doing all right, I think.
Yeah, it's 60-something.
Yeah. That group has been together quite a while, too.
Yes. Well, are you like the leader? Do you say what songs will be sung and do all that stuff?
No, it's actually democracy in action.
Oh,
believe
really?
It or not, we are a microcosm of what the world could be like if we could all just get along. Four completely
There's
different...
There's a good song. There's a good song in the making.
Four completely different people. Two men and two women trying to live together, make music, be creative, and it's been working pretty well.
It sure has.
We still have a lot of fun. We really do. Because I think people just love to hear the sound of voices together. In harmony.
And you must have to do a lot of listening.
Yes, absolutely. Well, to blend, I sing alto in the group, and in order to do that, I have to listen carefully to my part in the chord and balance myself with the melody and the other parts.
That's no easy task.
Well, I've always found it incredibly satisfying. At least I don't have to sing the tenor part, which is the worst part on the planet to sing, because it's like the leftover leftover notes.
Oh, goodness. Well, how about another song?
It would be Our Pleasure. This is a tune that was written by my friend Lorraine Feather, who lives in Los Angeles.
My friend, too.
She's wonderful. And Eddie Arkin. And I was intrigued by this tune because it's about my hometown of Brooklyn, New York. And it's just a great swing piece with a wonderful lyric. So Gil and I are going to do this now for you.
Wonderful. What's it called?
It's called I Know the Way to Brooklyn.
That's a good title.
One, two, buckle my shoe.
The sky, write a letter in the summer sky, and I sure don't know how to keep a guy, but I know the way to Brooklyn. I don't know how to build a boat or operate the buttons on the damn remote, but I've got one skill, a particular note. I know the way to Brooklyn. Booking out to Brooklyn on an early train, bringing my umbrella cause it might be rain. Time to hang a little with Amanda Jane. She's always lived in Brooklyn. Oh, I could say how to get to Spain, or help you find your way across the Ukraine, and flying to the moon would bend my brain. But I know the way to Brooklyn.
Well, I have this fantastic idea that I would love to ask you about, and that is, would you consent to sing a song with me playing, one of which is one I love a lot, Lotus Blossom?
Oh, well, that would be an absolute thrill. As it turns out, there is beautiful lyric to Lotus Blossom, and that makes the song called All Roads Lead Back to You.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I was able to get a bunch of Billy Strayhorn material and found this lyric in a pile of his tunes. And
what an amazing man he was.
Yes, wonderful, incredible composer, musician. And did you know him?
Oh, sure. He used to come to the Hickory House almost every night and sit at the bar by himself. And, of course, I was a real ham, and I would play his tunes. And I would try to learn a new one so that he would tell me how good I sounded. You know, what a phony I was.
Did he ever sit with you and do four hands or anything like
no,
that?
No, I would never ask him.
Yes.
It was easier to ask Duke to get up and play with the trio, which he did do many a time.
That must have been a thrill.
Oh, it was.
Strayhorn, sometimes it's hard to tell where Strayhorn begins and Duke ends, and they seem to blend into each other.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I used to talk to him, but I sort of didn't dare ask him to get up and play. I just felt that he probably wouldn't want to, but he did like to hear me play his tunes.
It's incredible to think that he wrote Lush Life at age 17 or whatever it was.
Yeah, what a sentiment that had.
Yes, kind of a world weariness that shouldn't be allowed in someone so young.
It shouldn't be, but he's about the only one that had that. Well, let's do our
homage.
That's what it'll be.
Could forget that our lips had ever met. I thought that a trip would give love the slip, but all roads lead back to you. I boarded a railroad train.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.